You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
In 1972, Glenys and I were invited to hear a lady by the name of Jean Darnell. And she spoke to us about the importance of knowing the Holy Spirit as a person. Not only did she do that, but she also spoke about the importance of receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And we were so intrigued. It began to stir in our hearts something that has never left us for all those years. And so the title of my message this morning is, How Amazing is the Holy Spirit? How amazing is He? Jesus said in John 16:7, it is to your advantage that I go away. If I don't go away, I can't send him to you. But if I go away, I will send him to you. Why did Jesus say that? It's because the Holy Spirit will not only come to you, but he will live inside of you. You think of that for a moment. Have a little pause moment, a little Selah moment. Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, God, the Holy Spirit, dwells in each one of us. He lives in you. He lives in me. When you read the book of Acts, you soon see how much the early believers looked to, depended upon, spoke about, and interacted with Holy Spirit because he was a vital part of their life. He was preeminent in everything they did, because he was vital to them. I think we know that Christianity with the Holy Spirit will lead to dryness and emptiness, a mundane, dead, dry religion. You remove Holy Spirit from church and it will quickly become simply a social club or a religious institution. Often when people speak about the Holy Spirit, they talk about His power, they talk about His manifestations, maybe His gifts, but never about the fact that He is a person. Question, is the Holy Spirit a person, a divine person, the third person of the Trinity, or is merely a powerful influence emanating from God the Father and the Lord Jesus? If you see him as one of the persons of the Godhead, to receive all glory, all honor, all praise, adoration, respect, devotion, and obedience to, you would not make statements like, I want more of Holy Spirit. I want more of him in my life. You would make statements rather like, how can I give myself more to him? You know, A.W. Tozer, a prolific writer in the years gone by, you can buy his books in the bookstore even today. He made this statement. He said, if you think of the Holy Spirit as a person, if you think of the Holy Spirit just as an influence, just as a force, then your desire would be that he would have, then your desire would be that you would have more of him. But if you think of the Holy Spirit, if you think of him, in the biblical way, as a divine person, then your desire would be, how can the Holy Spirit have more of me? You see, the Bible says in Romans 8:27 that he is a mind. And right through the Bible, you find the attributes of the Holy Spirit. He is a will. He has emotion. He comforts. He speaks. He can be spoken to. He teaches. He can be grieved. He can be insulted just like any other person. He can be resisted. He can be lied to. Many times the Bible used words like wind, fire, a dove in describing the Holy Spirit. But he's not that. The Bible clearly says that he is a person and a divine person as such. When he came upon Jesus at his baptism, the Bible says he came like a dove. He wasn't the dove. He came like a dove. Illustration. You take a weightlifter lifting weights. And you say, that guy, he is strong as an ox. You're not saying he's an ox. He may look like one. But you're simply referring to his strength. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, he talks about how they can grow in their Christian life and so on. But he leaves a key to how to live a successful Christian life. And the very last statement he makes to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Notice he highlights the three persons of the Godhead's major goals in your life and in mine. When he talks about Jesus, immediately talks about his love. In Acts 15, 11, it says, but we believe that we will be saved through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, just as they. Aren't you glad for the grace of the Lord Jesus? Then he talks about the love of the Father. In Romans 15, 10, it says, even when we were God's enemies, even when you were enemies, before we were saved, the Bible says we were enemies to God. And even when we were enemies, he made peace with us because his son died for us, yet something even greater than friendship is ours. Now that we are at peace with God, we'll be saved by his son's life. Now that's amazing. That's an amazing love. How amazing is God the Father? Then he talks about the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Now, the Greek word for communion is koinonia, and it has three major definitions. Firstly, koinonia means fellowship. And so what Paul is saying here, may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Secondly, koinonia means partnership. And again, Paul is saying, may the partnership of the Holy Spirit be with you. Thirdly, koinonia means intimacy. So let me explain that because they are important to us in our growth and our understanding of the person of the Holy Spirit. Firstly, koinonia means fellowship. What does fellowship mean? It means companionship. It means sharing together. You know, some say, and there's truth in this, the Holy Spirit is one of the most ignored persons in many churches today. Why is that? Because they see the Holy Spirit just as an it. He's just an influence, just a force, but never as a real person. And that's why he's not spoken to. We have experienced fellowship with the Father. We've experienced fellowship with the Lord Jesus. But there wasn't much teaching about learning to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. He's been neglected. But the Holy Spirit is God in this age. He's with us in the church. He is a person. And a person needs to be recognized as such. You take marriage, for instance. It's one thing to be married. Yay for marriage. But it's another thing to develop a deep relationship with your partner. If you don't recognize your partner as a person, then things are going to get very difficult for you. A person needs to be recognized, praised, and loved. After I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God clearly spoke to me and he said, recognition of the Holy Spirit as a person brings the quickest response. Let me say that again. Recognition of the Holy Spirit as a person brings the quickest response. And I remember one day I was sitting in my lounge and I was just asking the Holy Spirit. I said, Holy Spirit, you know, help me to know and understand the person of Jesus Christ. Show me how I can love him more. This came out of the verse from Philippians 3:10 that God had given me after I'd received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that I might know him. The word know means know intimately. God, Holy Spirit, show me how to know Jesus intimately. What do I need to do? Please teach me. Show me how to go about it. And as I was praying in my heart, suddenly, my daughter, she's about 4 to 5 years of age, she just walked up and down in the lounge, and she said, Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, I want to tell you I love you. Jesus, let me hug you, Jesus. Let me kiss you, Jesus. I just want to hug you. Lord Jesus, I love you with all my heart. And just like the Holy Spirit jabbed me in the ribs, he said, that's how you do it. Just be simple about it. Don't complicate it. Do not complicate it. You know, the same thing goes with the Holy Spirit. If you and I want to develop a relationship, a fellowship with the Holy Spirit, that's how we do it. Holy Spirit, I love you. Holy Spirit, I long for you. Holy Spirit, teach me your ways. Holy Spirit, guide me. You know, Jesus said in John 14, 15 and 16, he made reference to what the Holy Spirit will do in your life. In one particular passage, he said, you'll know him, for he dwells with you and he'll be in you. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you live inside of me. Your word says, Jesus said, you will dwell with me. So wherever I go, you'll be with me. You'll guide me into all truth. Holy Spirit, guide me into all truth. I want to walk in truth. You'll show me things to come. Holy Spirit, please show me things to come. You'll bring to my remembrance the things that you've spoken to me in the past. You will teach me. Holy Spirit, when I read the Word of God, I want to be able to read and see what you're saying in the pages of Scripture. When I read about the Father, when I read about Jesus, when I read about yourself, Holy Spirit, show me things that I hadn't seen before. You see, you need to talk to Him. Appreciate Him. Come on, church, appreciate Him. Tell Him you love Him. Appreciate Him. Thank Him for what He's doing in your life. Lord, Holy Spirit, I thank you for what you've done in my life. I thank you for the things that you put in my heart, my life. I thank you for my family. I thank you, Father God, for the things that you put in my life. And tell Him you love Him. Just be natural about it. Just be natural about it. Learn to be dependent on Him. How amazing is the Holy Spirit? You see, the early believers didn't have any problems with the Holy Spirit. Who He was. They interacted with Him. They spoke to Him regularly. And if you look at the Apostle Paul, he said in Acts 20, verses 22 to 23, and now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem. Notice he didn't say compelled by Jesus. Notice he didn't say compelled by the Father. He said compelled by the Holy Spirit. That word compelled means strongly urged. And he goes on to say, without knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit warns me in town after town that imprisonments and persecutions are waiting for me. Yippee! This is not a supernatural experience he's having. He's not having an out-of-body experience. He's not having a Damascus Road experience. This is a natural, daily walking and talking and fellowshipping and dialoguing with the person of the Holy Spirit. It's walking in step with the Holy Spirit. There's an interaction going on from town to town. Paul had this constant talk with the Holy Spirit in every town. And maybe he said, why do I need to go to prison? Why do I need to go to prison? That's going to stop me from evangelizing and going from place to place. And God said to him, well, this is going to be an opening to you to be able to speak to kings, to governors, and even Caesar himself and the Roman guard. You will be able, Paul, to talk to many people about Jesus Christ. You know, Paul could have said, well, I see. But is there a different way to go about it? You see, that there's a dialogue going on. There's interaction going on. And that's the way they lived in the book of Acts, church. And that's the way he wants you and I to live, walking and talking with the person of the Holy Spirit. Notice, Holy Spirit is warning Paul in town after town. There were seven towns. They come to one town. Holy Spirit said, this is going to happen to you. Come to another town. Paul thinks, well, that's changed. Yeah, it might be really good. No, this is going to happen to you. Go to seven towns. And the Holy Spirit keep telling him, this is what's going to happen. You're going to go to prison, Paul. Persecutions are going to happen to you. But then we read verse 29. This is going to blow you away. You ready? You're sitting in your seats. This is the Apostle Paul. This is what he says. But none of these things moved me. Paul, you're going to prison. None of these things move me. Paul, you're going to be persecuted. Okay, well, none of these things are going to move me. Isn't that amazing? What an amazing character. You look at Philip the evangelist. He's preaching in a Samaria. He's having a great time. Revivals, people getting saved, people getting healed, people getting baptized in water. And the church in Jerusalem heard about it, and so they sent Peter and John to pray for people for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so they prayed for them, and then they left. Then in the city, the Holy Spirit said to Philip, this is what he said, arise and go to the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. And so he hears the voice of angel speaks to him, and so he immediately goes. He doesn't question, he just goes. But then, in verse 29, he's in the desert, and this is what, and now the Holy Spirit speaks to Philip. He said, go near and overtake the chariot. An Ethiopian treasurer was on his way back from Jerusalem, back to his hometown of home country of Ethiopia. And Philip led this man to the Lord and baptized him in water. But you see, this is just 3 verses later. These men knew the voice of the Holy Spirit so intimately that they could tell the difference between an angel's voice and Holy Spirit's voice. Now that may seem unusual to you, but is it really? Let me say, if we're in a, like this room here, I was talking to a group of people over this side of the room. Over the other side, Glennis was with a group of people, and they were talking away. And as we're talking, suddenly I hear Glennis talking. Immediately I pick it up. Immediately I knew it's her voice. I didn't have to turn to look. I just knew immediately. How did it come out? That came out of a relationship with each other. And so can you imagine this? In Acts 8, we see Philip. He can tell the difference between the angel's voice and Holy Spirit's voice. Can you imagine Philip saying to Luke, Dr. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts? He said, now, listen, this is what I want you to write. Now, make sure you write it as I tell you. When I was in Samaria, had great things happen there, and then angel of the Lord spoke to me, and he said, go into the desert. And while I was in the desert, Philip, I was standing there and thinking, what am I doing here? There's nothing here. There's no water. There's nothing. No grass. There's nothing. What am I doing? And suddenly, guess what, doctor? I suddenly heard Holy Spirit say to me, go and join yourself to that chariot. See, this came out of fellowship and interaction because they knew His voice. Second definition of koinonia is partnership. And Paul is saying, may the partnership of the Holy Spirit be with you. You are in partnership together with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to take a major part of your life and play a major part because He is your senior partner and He brings the love of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to you so that you together with the Holy Spirit can build the kingdom of God. Holy Spirit wants you and I to be successful in our life. He didn't save you to be a failure. He didn't say, okay, come to Lord Jesus Christ and from the rest of your life you'll be a failure. He came, he called you to himself. You got saved and the Holy Spirit is there to help us to be success in everything that we do for Him. You know the thing that amazes me about this story? Wherever you go, the Holy Spirit's there with you. You go shopping, He's there with you. You can ask for bargains. Ask Him to show you where the bargains are. You go to you go for a drive, He's there with you. You go to work, the Holy Spirit is there with you. When you go to sleep at night, the Holy Spirit's there. When you wake up in the morning, He's there. When you have your meals, He's there. He's there wherever you are. That's where the Holy Spirit is. The work of God is done only in partnership. And the senior partner is the Holy Spirit. And guess what? You're the junior. In 1 Corinthians 3:9, it says, "For we are fellow workmen, joint promoters, laborers together with and for God." It means that we work with him and we work for him. We see this reflected in Acts 15, verse 28. "For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us." Here's the two partnerships. Can you see that? Holy Spirit and us. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon certain people, and for a moment, for that particular work they have to do. But in the New Testament, you and I have the partnership of the Holy Spirit 24/7. He's with you, and he shall be in you, in partnership with you. The third definition of koinonia is intimacy. And this goes beyond partnership. It's close mutual association. What do I mean by that? The Holy Spirit wants to be close, mutually, and reciprocally associated with you. What do I mean by intimacy? Intimacy is fellowship, but it goes deeper than fellowship. It's the secrets, the desires, and the intentions of the heart. Intimacy is the avenue to a very strong friendship. You take Matthew 13, verse 10 to 11. The disciples came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, why do you speak to these, you know, those people over there in parables? They can't even understand it." And this is what Jesus said. He said, "You have been given the intimate experience of insights into the hidden truths and mysteries of the realm of heaven's kingdom, but they have not." You have been given, you and I have been given intimate secrets. But we need to learn to develop this walk of intimacy with him. Look what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13:4. This is from the Message Bible. "The intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you." The intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Isn't it amazing? Look what Paul said. That's what Paul says. Intimate friendship. We're talking about the one that hovered over the waters waiting for the spoken word. We're talking about the one that overshadowed a teenage girl and planted a seed in her. We're talking about the one whose shadow came upon Peter and miracles, signs, and wonders took place. We're talking about the one that raised Christ from the dead that now lives in you and I. This is the person that wants to be your friend. How amazing is Holy Spirit? Look what James says in James 4:5. "The Spirit who dwells in us yearns for us." He didn't say the Spirit who dwells in us. He didn't say Jesus yearns for us. He says the Spirit yearns for us. Yearn means to long for intensely. You know, when I think of this verse, I think of Psalm 139, verse 17 to 18. "Every single moment you're thinking of me, how precious and wonderful to consider that you cherish me constantly in your every thought. Oh God, your desires towards me are more than the grains of sand on every shore. When I wake each morning, you're still with me." God says, "My thoughts about you outnumber every grain of sand." And that word yearns means to long for intensely and consistently. Notice it says long for with jealousy. What does that mean? It says don't put anything between you and God. Don't put anything between you and your walk of relationship with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 15, 28, it says, "It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us." They were so close to him. They were intimate with him that God allowed them, listen to this, God allowed them to represent him without him speaking. Notice it doesn't say, the Holy Spirit said, and so do we. It said, it seems good to us. Do you understand what's happening here? Remember, these men knew the Holy Spirit so well. He said, "You can represent me without me being there, without me speaking, because you know me intimately. If you want to seek intimacy with someone, you need to seek and to know their personality. You know, we could be out shopping or out with a group of people, and Glennis has a certain look. When she looks at me, and sometimes think, oh, she's loving. There's a loving look. But there's times she looks at me because I did the wrong thing. And she has a certain look that she looks at me. I just know. No one else would know, but I know. That comes out of a relationship. That comes out of spending time together. You realize that we've known each other for 53 years, and this year, this month, we'll be married 52 years. So I guess I really know her, and she really knows me. Let me say this in closing. The Holy Spirit and your spirit have joined as one spirit. In your sleeping hour time and in your waking time, the Holy Spirit is with you. You are in unity with the Holy Spirit. And you must learn to live the life of the Holy Spirit conscious life. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit every day while he was on earth, how much more should we? Remember, communion, koinonia, fellowship, partnership, intimacy is the key to growing in your relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I encourage you, church, talk to someone this week, another Christian, talked about what the Holy Spirit has done in your life. Fellowship with that person over the person of the Holy Spirit. Associate with people that love him. You know, I do this every week with a friend of mine. We ring each other up. Last night he rang me up, and for an hour we talk, share what God's been saying to us, and then we pray to one another. We talk about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in our families and so on, and what we want to see happen. We do that every week. And lastly, may I suggest to you, have a look at the YouTube and look at Catherine Kuhlman. She had an amazing, amazing walk of fellowship, of intimacy with the Holy Spirit that I've never seen with anyone else. Amazing. Her walk of intimacy with the person of the Holy Spirit. Intimacy is so, so crucial for us today. Let me just pray for you right now. Father, we just want to thank you. Thank you that you sent the Holy Spirit in answer to the prayer of Jesus. And Holy Spirit, you came to this earth. You drew us to Christ. No matter where we were, what sort of lifestyle we may have lived in those days, and yet you drew us to him. And Lord, you've allowed the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us and teach us. And so, Holy Spirit, we just want to say to you this morning, we appreciate you. We tell you we love you. We want to know more about you. Teach us, Holy Spirit. Help us to walk with you from day to day. Help us to be ever conscious of your presence with us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, you maybe have been watching this program this morning. You're saying, well, how can I know Jesus? What do I need to do to come into this walk of relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? It's very simple. Romans 10 and 9, it says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says you'll be saved. You simply confess. I'm going to say a simple prayer. Why don't you say this prayer after me? There's people here going to say this prayer after me as well. As we pray, we're going to invite Jesus Christ. He won't great crash your life, but he will come as you invite him into your heart, into your life. Let's just do that right now. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for taking my sins on your body. I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth that you are my Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I am now yours. I belong to you, and you belong to me. Help me from this moment on to live my life for you. In your name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Pastor Lee is going to have a quick word with you.
You know, if you prayed that prayer for the first time today, I want to encourage you, or you've prayed it again, I want to encourage you, please don't leave it there. I want to encourage you, you can go to our website, gc.org.au/first steps. All the information is there for you to get in contact with us and find out how to follow Jesus next, how to follow him well and grow more intimate with Holy Spirit and God our Father.